for about a minute and a half, 3 minutes tops. And then here's how it'll go, Lord willing, is we'll get through about, I don't know, probably get down to close to verse 20, maybe 16 is my goal. And then we'll finish up next time, if preacher lets me. And we'll go through one of the greatest promises to a Christian. That's what, the last couple verses in Romans chapter 8, about how nothing can separate you from the love of God. Amen. So, turn your Bibles, please, to Romans chapter 8. And we'll probably start somewhere around chapter 8, 9, or verse 9. And as you're turning there, I just want to give a couple illustrations. I wasn't going to do this, but the Lord used something that Joan said to kind of confirm that this is what I should probably do. So, now, you may get an opportunity this afternoon to do something to, I think I'm supposed to, did you tell the church where's Josh at? I don't know if he knows or not. I'll wait until afterwards. But anyway, who wants to know what's wrong with me? It's okay. That's okay. Raise your hand. You've been listening to me now. You've heard me. My wife's raising my hand, right? She hadn't got it figured out after 12 years, and you probably won't either. But seriously, who wants to know what's wrong with me? Good. Thank you. Anybody else? I want to know what's wrong with me, right? All right. So here we go. Let me start off by saying that song that we sing, What a Day That Will Be. Boy, I got fired up. The church started getting fired up. The Lord was pleased with that. Why? Because there's coming a day where we're going to look at the clouds are going to roll back, and we're going to be with Jesus Christ. Amen. And it's going to be glorious, and it's going to be incredible. Hallelujah. And I can't wait for that day, and I'm excited, and I'm crying, and I got friends over there. We all do, and it's going to be a glorious day. Amen. But, however, we're supposed to be a soldier until that day comes. Amen. Because guess what?
That's right.
Amen. You're supposed to gain rewards now as a soldier, so it's even more glorious when you get over there.
Yeah.
You see what happens when a soldier comes back and gets on the parade deck and he gets pinned the medals that he earned in that battle, it's glorious to that soldier. That's the glory of man.
Yeah.
You know what's sad is when you get somebody out on the parade deck after the war is over and the general goes by and he just passes over him. Why? Because he was a coward in battle.
Right.
I'm going to tell you what's wrong with me. All right, I'm just going to give you the truth. This is what's wrong with me. Here we go. That's Marine Corps cadence. Can you hear it? You know what that is? That's Marine Corps cadence. You're listening to a bunch of grown men wearing combat boots, carrying a rifle and a rucksack weighing 90 pounds. That's not rap music. That's their feet hitting the pavement. That's them running in cadence, training for the battle. Now, I got a hold of that as a sergeant in the Marine Corps. And when I got saved, I read this book, and you know what happened? That soul of the Marine Corps showed itself in the Bible to me. Through Jesus Christ. The Bible says, for me to live is what? Christ. And to die is gain. I was willing and able and ready to die for my country. I gave my life 4 years to Uncle Sam. And now I give my life, the rest of my life, to Jesus Christ, Lord willing. And I'm in a battle, and they could put me in the ground 6 foot down, and I want a ribbon on my chest for him. That's what's wrong with me. That's why I talk the way I do, because I believe what I'm saying. That's why I act the way I act. So he's just hard. He's just a Marine. No, I want to be God's soldier.
Amen.
That's what I want to be. And that's what you should want to be. You know what the role is up here? I wish I had my DI cap on because that's my role up here is to drill it, drill it, drill it, drill it into you so you get it. How about it?
Amen.
Amen. We're going to go over some things in Romans. Turn your Bibles to Romans chapter 8 where Paul says it over and over and over again about dying and suffering as a Christian. You know what a soldier learns how to do? Suffer, endure hardness, and die for the cause of the war. That's what a soldier does. And you're supposed to be a soldier. A soldier puts aside some things. Not only the weight of this world and all the things that hinder you, but your emotions and your feelings you're supposed to put aside as a soldier for Jesus Christ. It's irrelevant how you feel about me.
Amen.
You may not like me. I understand that. I don't like me half the time.
Amen.
And if you're real about yourself, you shouldn't like yourself half the
Amen.
Time.
Right.
Because your own worst enemy is yourself.
Yeah. Right.
The Bible says that in Romans chapter 7. We just went through that. Pastor went through that a few weeks back. You're your own enemy. So you know what a soldier does? He just pushes all that stuff out of the way, and he says, I'm going on for Jesus Christ. No excuses, no compromise. You put your head down, and you charge for Jesus Christ. Here's a quick illustration. Last night, street preaching, met a bum, another bum. I've known him for the whole time we've been out here, okay? They call him Campfire, because he goes out in the woods and teaches other bums how to live off of cans and starts fires and all this goofy stuff. And he's dying. He's got his kidneys are failing. He's dying. He's an alcoholic, and he's lost all kinds of weight, and he was all sickly, and I said, man, what's wrong with you? You all right? And he had tears in his eyes, and he says, I'm dying. I checked myself out of the hospital, and I'm dying. I said, well, let's go talk. I sat down and talked to this guy for over 30 minutes, sat Indian style in the dirt with him by the tree where the other guys were preaching, and I got a chance to preach later on, and he was this close to salvation, and he is almost there. And I gave him my phone number again, and I said, you call me when you need something. I sat there and we just talked and I listened to him. Sometimes you got to listen.
Right.
Sometimes you got to listen to get through that heart, because all you know what a man wants sometimes, he's broken, he wants you to listen to him.
Right.
Don't bash him, listen to him. There's a time for bashing, believe me, I know that. But there's a time to listen. And you know, he gave me some of the greatest compliments, he didn't mean to, but this is what he said. And I wouldn't trade this for all the money Donald Trump has, all the money that Bill Gates has, and that other sissy that owns Facebook, whatever his name is. You know what? I wouldn't trade this for nothing. This is what he said. And he said, we gather back in the campsites and we do this and we talk about you guys. He said this to me. He said, we nicknamed you, he's talking to me, the big angry pastor. And I like that. You know why? Because you know what they used to say? They said, we come out, you know why we come out here? They were always out there because we come out, we want to be where the action is. He says, we wanted to hear what you were going to say. And he sat there for 2 hours and he listened to all of us preach. And he broke down, he was soft, and he's dying, and he'll probably get saved. And I gave him another track with hell on that track. Not some sweet little this, it's a picture of burning flames in hell, because that's what happens to a lost sinner. They go to hell.
Right.
They don't just get separated from God and all. There's no separation from God.
Right.
The Bible says that he's there.
Right.
He knows exactly what's going on in hell.
Right. Amen.
It's not a game. You know what it is? You're supposed to be a soldier. You're supposed to be in battle. And that's how I feel. And that's what's wrong with me. Amen. Now you know. Amen. Romans chapter 8, verse 9. The Bible says, but ye are not in the flesh. You're not. You're not in the flesh. The Bible says this. It says, but in the spirit. If you're saved in here, if you are born again, you are in the spirit. You're not in the flesh. The Bible says that your body has been crucified with Christ at Calvary's tree. And you're supposed to mortify the members. You're supposed to reckon yourself dead for the cause of Jesus Christ. That's what the Bible says. I'm not just saying that trying to be a tough Marine up here. I'm telling you what the Bible says. It says that. I didn't say that. It says that. The Bible says that. You know, the problem is that Christians, most Christians, I say that without reservations, most Christians today, they may be in the spirit, but they're led by the flesh.
Right. Amen.
And they follow that flesh around. That flesh is in front of them. It's got a hook in them, and he's just dragging them through the mud. And if you follow that flesh, and I could sit here and go around the room and pick people out, I'm not going to do it, and I'll have them testify. They'll stand up with tears in their eyes and say, you're right. That's what the Bible says. If you follow your flesh, you know what it will end. You know where you're going to end up? On drugs. You're going to end up, God knows what else happens in the Bible. I won't even say the word sodomite because I shouldn't say that behind a pulpit, right? That's what they think. But I'll keep saying it until I get yanked out of this pulpit, until I die. The Bible word for it is sodomite.
Yeah.
That's what will happen to you if you're unthankful. Right? That's what happens to you. You say, oh, it never happened to a Christian. Oh, yes, it does.
Amen.
And I've run across them, and I'll hug on them, and I'll try to win them to the Lord out in the street, but I ain't going to sit at the table in my house with these people. It ain't going to happen. Amen. Back to the Bible, Romans chapter 8, verse 9. An unsaved man is in the flesh, and he cannot what? He can't please God. A Christian's not going to please God if you're being followed after the flesh. You can't please God. How much of your life is spent pleasing God or pleasing yourself? Think about that for just a moment. The problem is that we live in a country that just caters to the flesh. Everywhere you turn around, it's just me, 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 you next, you last, kids last, stick them in front of the glass toilet, the babysitter, I'll go play, do whatever I want to do, go spend 4 hours on Facebook while CNN and Fox News are programming my kids as a baby. That's the world we live in.
Amen.
You're supposed to be a soldier. You're supposed to fight against that stuff and get away and spend time with your kids, teach them the Bible, teach them the book, teach them how to, that's why they're sitting up here. I want them to see me up here talking like this. I want it in their heads. Jesus loves me, this I know, and all little children, I get that. They get that everywhere else. I wanted them to be little soldiers, and they are, and they are. They hand out tracts wherever they go. Their mom's done a good job trying to train them up, and I appreciate that. By the grace of God, I want to keep on going until I can't no more. Amen. Amen. Back to Romans. Romans chapter 8, verse 10, the Bible says this, and if Christ be in you, look at that, if. It's not, you're not going to question your salvation. You're supposed to analyze your salvation. If Christ is in you, you're supposed to act like this, Amen. The Bible says. Look what it says. If Christ be in you, the body is what?
Dead.
You know what a dead body does? It stinks. You got worms in your body now. You know that? Some of us in here got a lot of worms. Some of us don't have so many. You know why you get a lot of worms in your body? You get sick. It's called a parasitic condition. And candida and all this other junk that goes on, and it kills you and it causes cancer. You know how many times they've cut lumps out of people and found just worms crawling in it? Cancer, a lot of times, is just simply parasites overrunning your body. And they label it cancer. You know that? That's your flesh. Paul said this, in my flesh dwelleth what?
No good thing.
Nothing good about my flesh. Not a thing. You're supposed to reckon yourself dead. Dead, dead. Boy, that's it. Welcome to Faith Baptist Church Sunday morning. Isn't this beautiful? It is beautiful. Because when you reckon yourself dead, you can live for Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
I know what you get. You get that inner witness we're going to talk about here in a minute. You get something from Christ when you put yourself down that a fleshly Christian does not get. So you got two Christians, a fleshly Christian and a Christian that's trying to keep himself down. And the one Christian shouting and praising God and tears are running. The other Christian's going, look at that hypocrite.
Yeah.
That's the works of the flesh.
Yeah.
You see how that thing works? The Bible's clear, and that's what the Bible tells us. In verse 10, positionally, your body has been crucified with Christ. Right now, your body is slowly dying.
Yeah.
Amen. And as I get older, those gray hairs are popping out. I'll be looking like you guys here probably in a couple months. And it's coming. It's coming. My body's slowly dying every single day. Every day. But positionally, you know what that means? Positionally, my body's already been on that tree hung with Jesus Christ. I try to walk in the Spirit, the newness of life. I try to put on the new man and put off the old man.
Yeah.
That's the key.
Yeah.
And that's got to be done at a minute by minute, second by second, decision by decision. You know how you live by Christ? Second by second.
Yeah.
Amen. Second by second. Yeah. 10 seconds ago, you may have had an off-color thought or a cuss word come through your mind, and you can repent over it. And this second right now, I'm trying to live for Christ.
Yeah.
That's the key.
Yeah.
That's the victory that's in the flesh. That's how you do it. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Romans 8:11. But if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwelleth in you, it's analyzing you. Are you saved? Yes, then the spirit's in you. He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwelleth in you. That's that song. What a day that will be. And I know we know this, but God the Father, he raised Jesus Christ from the dead. And if you get inside of Jesus Christ, Christ in you, guess what? You will be raised from the dead someday. The worms will fall off. The maggots will spit out your flesh. And you're going to get a new glorified body. And you will be with Jesus Christ in heaven. No other religion can promise you that. There's no other man that says, I can do this for you. You want ladies? You want a good man? How about Jesus Christ? And that's what I preach on the street. And I preach it to him straight. I say this. This is what I say. I said, the Bible says, whoremongers and adulterers, God will judge. At the bar, you won't find love. You won't find anything. You want to find someone that loves you? It's Jesus Christ and him alone.
Amen.
How about it? Why are you out here tonight? You looking for a man? Every woman wants a man. A good man is Jesus Christ. He won't abuse you. He won't take care of your body. He won't try to get something for nothing. He loves you. He cares. And that's how it goes. Bam, 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 bam. That's the Marine Corps. You know what? And then they flip me the bird. And they cuss at me. And they spit at me. And other times, they come in and cry on my shoulder. Amen. That's the spirit that bears witness. Because you know who's at that bar? A bunch of lost people and some saved ones mingled in there.
Yeah.
You know what a saved person does when they hear the truth and they're doing wrong? They do this.
Yeah.
I wish I had a nickel for every time I saw a head drop over there.
Man.
I'd be a rich dude. I'd be driving in a brand new truck instead of the old one I got running out there. Amen. That's the witness of the Holy Spirit. That's what it is. And you know why I'm always harping on street preaching? Because I want you to get out there in the battle. And you know what happens? I can tell you right now, I could rattle off 10 names in my Marine Corps platoon, platoon 1022, Our personal laundry number is 5,700, okay? Staff Sergeant Page, Senior Drill Instructor Sergeant Bailey. Why can I just rattle that out like it's second nature? Because we train together, okay? We bled together, and we're willing to die together. If the church would have that attitude for Jesus Christ, guess what you'd have? No divisions, no schisms in the body. You know what you'd have? A bunch of soldiers with love in their hearts going out and doing what God wants them to do. Instead of this one don't like this one. This one don't like this one. This one likes this. This one, that's what we got now. That's how the church is now. Right. But if you get into battle and put your head down, put your differences aside, and serve Jesus Christ, put yourself down, crucify your flesh, I'm willing to die for the cause of Christ, let's go. If you get like that, you know what it does? It brings a smile on Jesus Christ's face. You may not have to die for your faith, but you just might.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. We're going to get in here in a little bit, either this time or next time, the suffering for Jesus Christ. So that's just cancer, this or that. No, it's not. A lost person goes through cancer suffering just the same as a saved. That's not it. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ there may be a time in your Christian life where the Lord may bring you to a call of suffering and persecution for his name's sake. Now, I'm not crazily saying we're going through tribulation. I don't believe any of that garbage. I'm just telling you this. It's not wrath to go through tribulation. Our forefathers are burned at the stake for what they believe. That wasn't tribulation, okay? Our forefathers watched their families get butchered in front of them for the cause of Christ.
Right.
Some of them fell apart and some of them stand strong.
Yeah.
Amen. There's a story of a woman on the porch, and I'll be careful. I know there's little ears here, but ears here. But the husband was executed right in front of the wife. And you know what she said? She had an apron on. He was always a good man, picked up a piece of skull. He was always a good man, loved Jesus Christ, picked up another piece of skull. She didn't cuss Jesus Christ. She reverenced her husband, and she put her head down like a soldier, and she took it. That's different than today's Christianity, isn't it? That doesn't feel very good, does it? No, but it brings our Savior glory. Would you be willing to do that? No, in my flesh, absolutely not. But in my spirit, yes. Take me to the battle. In my spirit, let's go. My flesh says no. Romans chapter 7.
Yep.
What are you going to follow? Amen.
Yep.
Amen. Romans chapter 8, verse 12. Therefore, brethren, because of these things, because Jesus Christ is going to raise you up again, you've analyzed it, if, right? You're not doubting your salvation. You're thinking, yes, Christ is inside of me. I realize that. I'm supposed to reckon myself dead. Yes, I realize that as well. And it says this, therefore, brethren, that's saved people, born again Christian, we are debtors, right? We're in debt. It's not Visa. This isn't MasterCard. This isn't, you know, American GM Financial with your truck payment. You know what you're in debt to? Not to the flesh. Your flesh, you don't owe your flesh a dime. Your flesh does not have your best interest at heart. Your flesh wants to kill you, okay? Your flesh wants to destroy you.
Yeah.
If I had my way in my flesh, I'd probably sit down and eat cake all day long. I'm just being honest with you, right? Maybe caramel cake maybe chocolate, maybe strawberry, maybe I'm just being honest. That's what I would do.
Yeah.
If I don't put that thought down, I'll die. I'll be a fat pig that can't move and can't preach and can't do nothing. If I don't put some of that stuff down, I'll never be effective for Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Jack Patterson said it perfectly. If I can't put down the fork, how am I going to show him the love of Christ, right?
Yeah.
That's called being a hypocrite, right? I'm not preaching on gluttony because I'm a glutton at times. I know it's wrong. I'm preaching on this. Debtors not to the flesh. We're supposed to live after the flesh. You're supposed to live in the Spirit, walking in the Spirit, Galatians 5. You're supposed to be memorizing the nine fruits of the Spirit, analyzing each and every action that you take because of it thereof. And you say, you know what? That was of the flesh. Lord, I'm sorry. Help me to be in the Spirit. That's a daily, day-by-day walk that you're supposed to be doing. Okay? You don't get that by listening to Facebook for 4 hours or YouTube for 10 hours watching filth. You're just feeding that flesh. And you feed the monster. Guess what? The monster comes out.
Amen.
You put the monster in a closet, padlock it, kick the door. Stay in there. And you know what? The flesh will stay away a little bit.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. That's good stuff. I'm trying to help you this morning. It says this in verse 13, for if we live after the flesh, you shall what?
Die.
I didn't say that. The Bible said that. You're going to die if you live after your flesh. You follow that flesh into the crack house, you will die. You follow that flesh into the prostitution house, you will catch something and you will die. That's what the Bible says. That's Galatians chapter 6 and verse 7. It's the lawing of sowing and reaping. The scary thing is that most of the reaping that you're going to get as a Christian is at the judgment seat of Christ. There's a lot of things unknown that you've done as a Christian that you haven't answered for yet.
Yeah.
Amen. I'll amen myself. Amen. That's right. You know why? Because you lived in the flesh for a lot of the time being a Christian.
Yeah.
But thank God if you're still here, still alive and still breathing, whether it's for 10 more minutes or 10 more years or 100 more years, You have an opportunity to live for Jesus Christ from this point on. And it's your duty, it's an honor, of course. It's your responsibility to do that. You are to put your flesh down, the Bible says. And you're not in debt to your flesh. You're in debt to Jesus Christ. And you owe him something, the Bible says. You owe him everything. Look what it says. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. If you put that flesh down, you live. Don't eat sugar, eat salad, you'll live longer. I'm not saying I could do that all the time. I'm just telling you, giving an example. You're laughing, Brother Jesse. You know, I like to eat junk too, right? But I got to curb it a little bit. I got to try to put the fork down once in a while, or else I won't be effective. Because when you're really overweight and all that junk is on your nerves, you know what happens? It coats you, okay? And it coats your nerves and your nerve cells. And you know what happens? Mental stuff happens. You're not sharp. You're foggy in your brain. This and that. When you run, like the cadence you just heard, and you're exercising, you're sweating, and you're yelling, you know what you're doing? You're shedding off all that junk, and now the flesh can be strong. That's called exercise. You should do that spiritually every day. Amen. If you spend half the time with some of these stupid idiot bodybuilders that can't move, look how big and bulky they are. It's ridiculous. It's all the flesh. Look at me. Look at me. They walk around like this. Look at me. For what? It's vanity. You still can't lift a tree that weighs 900 pounds. You're an idiot. Look at you. Look how much stress you're putting on your heart. You think you're going to live long? Give me a break. The Bible says this in 8:12. Therefore, brother, we are debtors not to the flesh. And I already said this. Turn to Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. I'm not saying it's easy. I'm just saying it's necessary. You ought to strive for some of these things. You're not going to be perfect until you become like Jesus Christ and you seat it with him in heaven. You're not going to be, but the mindset, the military soldier mindset for a Christian is to strive for that. You're supposed to strive for that. You're going to fall short, don't get me wrong, but as you press forward and strive for that, you'll be rewarded the good medal of conduct for your service as a Christian. Amen. But if you give in to your flesh, you don't get a medal. You get shame. Look what the Bible says in Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Is that how you're living this morning? No, just be honest. You don't have to answer me or shake your head or get mad at me or flip me off. Just be honest in your hearts to yourself. Are you trying to live that way? Yeah. Are you crucified with Christ? Or are you crucified with Facebook? Yeah. Are you crucified with the internet? Or are you crucified with Christ? Yeah. Do you spend time in his word? Or do you spend time... You fill in the blank. It doesn't matter what you put in there because it doesn't matter. Yeah. Everybody's guilty of it, including myself. Yeah. But the Bible's clear. Paul says, he said, I am crucified with Christ. You know what Paul's saying? He said, take my body and put it on a stake and light the match. Here's the match. I'm done. There's my body. You know, what else can drive a man to get stoned? I'm not saying stone. I'm saying get hit in the head with a rock and die and then get right back up, resurrect in your life and go back right back where they hit you in the head with a stone. What kind of normal man does that? Even a dog has enough sense to get out of the rain.
Yeah.
What drives a man to go to the stake singing a hymn as they're burning his flesh and it's melting on top? What drives a man to think like that? Why can only a few men do it? I hope I don't have to eat these words. Believe me, I don't. But if I do, then I do. And I hope I can do it. And I hope the Lord has to duct tape my mouth shut and sew my lips and knock my teeth out so I don't deny him. That's what I want. I don't want to deny my Lord. I love him. That's the military in me. And you might not have to be so extreme on the outside like I'm trying to illustrate to you this morning, but on the inside, the mental sharpness of a soldier should be in you. Let this mind be in you. Let it. Because if you don't let it, it won't be there. Everything else will be in there. Why do I harp so much on Facebook and all this other garbage that the news media jams down your throat? Like a 2-year-old drinking Pepsi out of a bottle, just jam it, jam it, jam it, because it's no good for you. I'm trying to wash, erase some of that garbage that's in your mind. And I'm using a little bit of shock tactics. I know what I'm doing. I'm being a little bit belligerent, not intentionally. A little rude in speech maybe is a better metaphor. Paul said he was rude in speech. Paul said, follow me as I follow Jesus Christ. I'm just trying to follow Paul. Don't get mad at me. Get mad at Paul. He told me to do this. Amen. It's the Bible. Amen. Back to Romans. Romans 8:13. For you live after the flesh, we'll cover this a little bit, you shall die. But if ye through the Spirit, now you can only do it through the Spirit. You know, that's another work of the flesh, is trying to muster this stuff in the flesh and try to live for Christ. And you can't do it. You have to be saved and born again, number one. A lost person cannot live for Jesus Christ because the Spirit of God doesn't dwell in him. He doesn't get a witness of the Holy Spirit. He doesn't get that reassurance of salvation. You have to, can only be done through the Spirit. It says, but if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. It's a life or death situation spiritually for a Christian. You're either going to live for Jesus Christ or you're going to live for the flesh. One's going to give you life and one's going to give you death. The choice is yours. I preach that on the street all the time. The choice is yours. Sometimes I'll quote Joshua, you know, choose you this day, whom you'll serve, as whom in my house, we will serve the Lord, all that stuff. And I give him a choice. You have a choice going in there for that bottle, that cigarette. You got a choice. What are you going to do? And they'll flip me off and go in there. But they'll come back out and smoke the cigarette and listen to me for 20 minutes. And then you know what they do when everybody else is away? They're all in there at the bar shooting pool talking about us. What a loser. You got nothing else to do? You come to a bar to drink to talk about a bunch of preachers? What's that? I get that all the time. They're talking about you in there. You know what I say? Praise the Lord. Good. Let them talk. I find these tracks in the bathroom all over. I didn't go in there and put them in there. Who put them in there? Other Christians. Look at that. That's a blessing. That thrills my soul. If we left that bar, probably drop business because the show is over. When we do leave and go somewhere else, they're going to have a drop in business over there. It's all over Facebook what we do while we're there, and they think that we're protesting them and hate them, and I tell them, I don't hate you. I'm for you. I'm your friend. I'm telling you the truth. I love you. I want to see you saved. That's why I talk this way. I want to see you get into heaven. I don't want to see you go to hell. Because you're already living like hell. You smell like it with your cigarettes. I start nailing them. Why? Conviction. I want them to get under conviction. Without conviction, there's no salvation. It doesn't happen any other way, the Bible says. Without repentance, there is no salvation. That's a trick of the devil. Amen. Back to Romans. 8:13. You know, you're supposed to turn to Colossians chapter 3 to back this up. You're supposed to, and I said this a minute ago, you are supposed to put on the new man. Just like some of you put on your suit today and your tie on you, some of you took a shower, some of you didn't, but you put on something for church. You're supposed to daily, moment by moment, put on the newness in Jesus Christ, just like you put a jacket on. And you're supposed to take off the flesh, the Bible says. Put on the new man every day. I'll turn to Colossians chapter 3. Look at verse 5. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth. It's not heavenly, it's earthly. Fornication. How come fornication is always mentioned first in a lot of these lists? You ever notice that? How come it's the will of God for a Gentile to stay away from fornication? That's flesh joining flesh is fornication if you're not married. Okay? If you're not married and you're shacking up, you're fornicating. And it's wrong. And I don't want my kid to see that. Now, I'm just going to step on a limb here, and I'm not going to ask for forgiveness. I'll ask the Lord for that if it's wrong, but I'm going to say this right now. There's people in this church, okay, that are shacking up and not living together, and my kids see it, and I got to answer to them. Why, Daddy? Why, Daddy? You know what I got to do? I got to say, I don't know. It's wrong. They shouldn't be doing it. It's wrong, and it's sin. I don't want them to do that. I don't want my kids to shack up with the first dude that comes around in a tie. That's what's happening in these church pews. I don't want that for my kid. I don't want my daughter. I don't want her to cry on my shoulder because some loser broke her heart 20 years from now. I got to clean up the mess. I don't want to clean up no mess. I want to glory that she made the right decision. That's what I want to do. You know how that comes from preaching like this? If you don't get this, you ain't going to get it. Because I'm drilling it in you. See, maybe some of you might get it. Because if you don't get it, the world's going to get you. And that's the truth. Hey, I don't hate anybody in here. I love you guys. You know, I'd rather get up here and make you laugh and tell stories and maybe just go through the Bible and make it all mushy and make you like me. Maybe you slip me a $20 bill. I'm just being honest. That's what I'd rather do. But you know what my duty is? My duty is to drill, 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 drill. Why? Because we're thick-headed. Yeah. And we forget everything. The older you get, you forget something. You forgot what I said 10 minutes ago, didn't you? He said, yeah, probably, right? When? Who am I? I'm just kidding. I love Brother Squiggy. But that's what the Bible says, right? In Colossians chapter 3, verse 6, for which things' sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked some time when ye lived in them. Here's a comparison. It used to be like this, but now you're walking in the Spirit, and your job is to do this. Verse 8, but now you also put off these. You're supposed to put these off. Anger. Now, the Bible has a lot to say. I'm called an angry preacher, okay? Be angry and sin not. Righteous anger is a good thing. You know what we're missing in pulpits across America today? Righteous anger. It makes me sick when I see what drugs and alcohol do to these bums. It makes me sick when I see my friends die from heroin. And I got family members I put in a grave because they put needles in their arms and they died. And they're not here. My kids never even met some of my family members because of that garbage. That makes me sick. That makes me angry. And I want to wring somebody's neck. I'm telling you, that's how I feel. But the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but what? We're supposed to be strong through the pulling down the strongholds, isn't it? I'm supposed to be a spiritual soldier. And that's your job as well. And if you don't fight for your kids, if you don't fight for what's right, then the world's going to win, the devil's going to win, and you're going to be ashamed at the judgment seat of Christ, and you'll lose your family, and you'll lose our church. You know why we're losing our churches today? Because of this very fact. Christians won't reckon themselves dead. They won't do it. They just want to cater to the flesh, catering services. They just want to walk up to the sterno pot, slop some slop on their stuff, sit down, get fat, right? Go home and take a nap. They don't want to go on the street corner and preach till their lungs fall out and stomp and rage and quote scripture and hug bums and hug prostitutes and hug queers. That's right, I do. I'll hug a queer in a second if he's crying and repenting, not if he's a fornicating loser that's a sex pervert, okay? There's a difference. Amen. That's right, righteous anger. Be angry and sin not. Why? Because the Bible says you're supposed to kill that flesh. Amen. But verse 8 in Colossians, but now you also put off all these anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication. You're supposed to watch what you say if you're a Christian. On the job site, that's hard. I work with a guy right now. He's my trainer, and every other word out of his mouth is the F-bomb. I'm ready to break his teeth. I am ready to knock his head off. And I'm going to have to say something to him because I'm getting angry. Yeah. I'm going to keep my mouth shut as a good little trainee and trying to do right. I'm paid to work, not to witness, by the way. Yeah. I'm not saying don't be a good witness, but on the clock, my boss pays me to do a job, and that's my job. I don't sit there and witness to him on my boss's time because that's not right. That's stealing.
Yeah.
That's stealing, okay? I'm all about being an aggressive witness, but I want the Lord to be pleased with me. The Bible says the laborer is what? Worthy of his hire. Yeah. You've been hired to do a job. Christian, are you doing it?
Yeah.
Not in this world, spiritually. Are you doing your job this morning? Are you? It's either yes or no. You're either doing it or you're not.
Right.
Or you're doing it halfway, and I can't say the word for that. You know what I'm saying. Mm. It's halfway. And if I had one word to sum up today's Christianity, two words, it would be halfway. Because it makes the Lord angry, Laodicean, and he spits you out. I didn't say that. The Bible said that. Amen. Yep. Amen. This is good for you. You know, medicine tastes horrible. Who's ever swallowed a pill without water and got the taste of those chemicals on your tongue?
Yeah. Amen.
I have. It tastes disgusting. That's why you wash it down with something sweet, like modern Christianity, modern preaching. You're washing down all the bitterness with sweetness so you don't taste it. I want you to taste the bitterness. I want you to get a bitter taste in your mouth because maybe you'll make some changes in your life.
Yeah.
Maybe you'll say, you know what? That's right. He is right. The Bible is right. I'm tired of my flesh. I've been letting it slip. I'm tired of my flesh controlling my thoughts. I'm putting it away. That'd be great. I'd be happy about it, but no matter what I am, the Lord will be happy with that. The Bible says that you're created for his pleasure, not your pleasure. That's Brother Eric's favorite verse. He's always quoting that thing. It helps him all the time, right? You were made for God's pleasure, not your own. Not your own.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you for that one. Amen. Thank you. I should have about 50 amens going, amen! But you know what I got? I got a bunch of owls in a tree looking at me. I'm not picking on you. I'm just telling you what I see. It's a fact, okay? Why is that? You're either really contemplating what I'm saying and trying to absorb it, or you're like thinking about like the football game last Sunday or something, or last month, whatever it was. You're supposed to be a soldier. Now I want to say this. Back to Romans chapter 8. Do you know how you're supposed to put down the flesh? You're supposed to give victory. You know what happens with suicide? And I'll just say this briefly. I know I've got to finish here very soon. But to get victory over your flesh, you have to kill your flesh spiritually. You know why there's suicides? Because they don't get it. And they try to get victory over the flesh by killing the flesh because they're in agony. They don't have the Spirit of God inside them to explain to them what Romans chapter 7 means and Romans chapter 8. The Bible says that your mind is your enemy. The Bible tells us, brethren, that your mind is against God, that your very thoughts of repentance need repented over. That's what the Word of God tells us. It says, you're no good. Your flesh is no good. Without this Bible, without God's Spirit, you're a shipwreck. And what a lost person is thinking about suicide doesn't have that hope. He doesn't have those things. And you know what he does? He thinks his way out is to kill himself, to take his own life because of the agony. The Bible, in a minute, we're going to see a verse that says that a Christian cries out, Abba, Father, because he's earnestly in agony. That's our blessed hope, is Jesus Christ and him alone. Christian, you're not supposed to take your life. It's not your life. You're stealing from God. If you end your life prematurely just because of your flesh, and I'm not making light of this. Hey, I'm not. I'm really not. I know some people suffer some stuff, and I don't blame you for doing it. I'm just telling you from the Bible, it's wrong. You're bought with a price. It's not your life. You're not responsible to take it. That's God's decision. So if you're thinking about suicide, let me tell you something. That's stealing from God. You know what else you're doing? You're giving up your crown. If you're saved in here and you think have those thoughts and everything else, I'm going to tell you something. The Lord put that battle in your life for a reason. And if you fight it through the Spirit of God and keep fighting it, guess what? You're going to get a crown for it, for enduring until the end. This ain't no tribulation. I'm talking about suffering as a Christian. We'll get to that here in a little bit. I got to wrap up. But Christians suffer sometimes. And I know that some Christians suffer some mental things. I'm not saying some Christians shouldn't take something to help them out. Right? I'm not saying illegal drugs. I'm saying there are times. Okay, I know that. I've got friends that go through it. I'm not against that. I'm just saying that if you take your own life, that's not good. It never works out for you or your family. Sometimes you got to just put your head down and tough it out. Yep. And if we can just get that soldier mindset as a Christian, that's the victory. Faith is the victory. Oh, glorious victory that overcomes the world. Faith is your victory. He's your victory. This world's got nothing for you, but he's got everything. If you get connected to him, it's not going to be easy, but you'll make it through. The battleship comes through the harbor. Sometimes the storm rocks that boat. Sometimes the cannonballs go through the flags, and people walk around with peg legs, and the battle's rough, and the storm is raging, but the ship still keeps going. That's the Christian life. We're at the last days, brother. We're at the end of this thing. And it's time to press on and get serious. Amen. I'll close on this verse here and be done for now at Romans 8:14. The Bible says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God. It's a choice. Not all are led. You might be in the Spirit, but you're not led. They are the sons of God. Now, a Christian is saved and he's in the Spirit and Christ is in him, right? That's a saved person. Look at 15. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage, again the fear, that's the law. Under the law, it's a fearful thing. If I didn't sacrifice something for that dirty thought, I'm in danger of hell. That's under the law. But because of Jesus Christ in Galatians chapter 3, you're no longer under the law. Jesus Christ is a schoolmaster to take you out from underneath of that curse and bring you into grace. All right, I got to close. Let me finish the verse and I'll be done. But ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. That's a Jewish term. It has a meaning. It means something. Spiritually, a Christian is adopted into the family of God, into the commonwealth of Israel. You become God's son, just like an Israelite, in God's eyes when you receive Christ. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this time. Thank you for your word. I pray that you'd